that the president has spoken for human salvation, and briefly he shall just let you know what the word man means. One who is out front in establishing the human life for human beings. And this brother that we have with us here this evening is a Muslim first. This is the will of God. He's an American. He's a taxpayer. He's a voter in the American process, and he encourages Muslims to participate and respect the law that governs the United States of America. He is the spokesman for human salvation, meaning that he's speaking for people to help to save us from sin. And we pray Allah that you appreciate the comments that he has to make with us this evening. And without any further ado, I'd like to present to you our brother, your brother, Imam W.B. Muhammad. That's here.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Thank you. Praise be to God. As we say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And praise be to God. Thanks to God. We witness that God is one. And we witness that Muhammad is the servant, messenger of God. We pray prayers and peace be on him and what follows of that traditional salute to the last prophet, Muhammad. We are greatly honored and still especially happy and pleased to be your guest here. The President, Dr. Spirit, Professor Dr. Bell, and all the leadership we have here on the campus, the African-American leadership, student leadership, and Muslim student leadership, we appreciate the opportunity to address this gathering on the campus, here at the William Patterson State College. I looked at the list of questions, I hope that in my address I respect the questions or respond somewhat to these questions, and I understand that when I finish there will be an opportunity for questions regarding what I have said, what I would have said. I want to begin by first introducing in a very brief way our life in America as Muslims. When I say our people in my association, we used to be called Nation of Islam, Temple of Islam, Nation of Islam, Black Muslims, etc. It is important to know that in the early years of our acquaintance with Islam, we were told to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And we were also told that the Quran, the holy book, called Quran in the West, Quran, by most Muslims we say Quran, Arabic pronunciation, that book was the word of God and was pure and perfect. We were told that when I was a little child. I know because my mother used to recite certain things to me before I even went to school, before I became a school age. She would recite certain things to me. And she felt this as her duty, that she was duty-bound to recite certain things to me before I went to sleep in the morning. And at any time she thought that I needed to be reminded, she would do that. And later, after studying the ideas of the founder, or the one who found the concept for the nature of Islam, his name is Farrar, spelled in the dictionary or encyclopedia, F-A-R-D, but it's pronounced F-A-R-A-D, Farrar. After studying him and his work in the black community or in the African community, American community, African-American community, and studying the Al-Milaik Muhammad, the late leader of the Nation of Islam, studying him and his work, I came to the conclusion finally, not right away, finally, over years, over a period of 15 years maybe, I came to the conclusion that Farrar, the teacher of Al-Milaik Muhammad, the late leader, my father, didn't really intend that the idea of Islam he gave stay with us, but that it serve us until circumstances change in America to allow us to grow mentally, morally, and spiritually, and in every way above what he gave us as an idea of religion, and question it, and began questioning it. And his prayer and his hope was that as we enjoyed a better situation in America and became less interested in what the white man is and what the white man is doing to us, and became more interested in what we are in reality and what we are doing to ourselves, that we would gradually reject much of what he said, or much of what he presented as Islam, and turn to the Quran. We were not taught the Quran. We were taught Bible. In the 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s, we were not taught the Quran. We were taught Bible. Our leader, then, Elijah Muhammad, may God forgive him his sins, grant him paradise, he told us that we died in the Christian society, and it was out of the Christian society that we had to be resurrected, and that was the justification he gave for using a lot of Bible texts to attract our attention and get us to have faith, that the faith or the hope or the belief that God had a special interest in us, and that though we were rejected in America, God was on our side. Now, I think our experience under that peculiar concept of Islam was very much like the black experience or African American experience or the Negro experience, if you permit me to say that, in America, in the Christian society and under the Bible influence. Those who were aggravated by bad conditions of their people in this country to the extent that they had to turn to God for answers, they did very much the same thing that Farrar did for us. They saw answers in Scripture. They identified the suffering people of the Old Testament saw God as their deliverer, the Almighty God as their deliverer, and believed that the Almighty God was on their side and against their oppressors. So this is what Farrar did for us. And he copied the history of the black nationalist movement. And when I say black nationalist, now I'm saying black nationalist to include even Marcus Garvey and to include even Martin Luther King Washington in that kind of idea. Not the movement for nationhood, but the movement for at least a sense of origin, a sense of beginning for our people, appreciation for Africa, respect for Africa and African people, and a view of our future as a people working together to better the whole life
not just one aspect of our life, not just the spiritual aspect, but the whole life of our people, the physical life, the material life, pardon me, the financial life, etc. I see Farah borrowing from Gavi, borrowing from a man called Drew Ali, Noble Drew Ali, the leader of the Moore Science Temple, and borrowing also from Booker T. Washington, his idea of education, or his philosophy of education, that military drill should be included to discipline us, to get us to respect black authority without being so suspicious and doubtful or questioning black authority. So I see him as a man doing all of that. But I mainly see him as a man now presenting a kind of satire where he's criticizing white supremacy, the idea of white supremacy. He's belittling, making mockery of the idea of white supremacy with his metaphysics, with his metaphysics that I would identify as the nature of Islam metaphysics on the beginning of the world, the creation of evil, and all of that, you see. That he was really doing a satire on the evil of white supremacy, or white rule. And that really his hope, his main hope, or his prayer was that as circumstances improve for blacks to be comfortable in the United States, or at least have hope to the future for themselves in this country, that his following, the following of Elijah Muhammad, his appointed minister, would turn to the Quran. And that if they turned to the Quran, they would find the true Islam, and with God's mercy, God's blessing, they would become genuine Muslims one day. Well, his prayer was answered. I think I'm a legitimate Muslim, a genuine Muslim.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
And I thank the many that's with me in my association, the imams, the fine people that support my leadership, and that who are doing a great job of presenting Islam and serving humanity. I think they are also proof that this prayer was answered. Now, that's all I have to say about that, except for Malcolm. I want to mention Malcolm. Malcolm, one thing we should understand about Malcolm, that's also Malik Shabazz, he changed his name to Malik Shabazz, he made the pilgrimage. El Hajj means the one who made pilgrimage. It's a title for the one who visits the holy precincts in Mecca, the house built by Abraham and his son. So anyone who makes that ritual journey, he comes back to the title Hajj. Malcolm was Al-Hajj, Malik Shabazz. Malik means king. Shabazz was also part of the metaphysics. It's a tribe in the metaphysics of Farah. Now, what I want to say about Malcolm is this, that if Malcolm was living today, he would be doing exactly what I'm doing, but perhaps he'd be more involved in the politics of the society, and perhaps even involved in the politics on the continent of Africa, because he was nationalistic. His love was the love for his people and the love for our history. He would often mention Mansa Musa, Askew the Great, and you could see his eyes light up because he had read some history of them in Africa. He'd mention even the ancient builders of Africa, and his eyes would light up. Mine would too, but I just didn't get the attention that he got. No one saw my eyes light up. But I also read and heard too, and it brightened me up, did a lot for my spirit. So if Malcolm was here, he would be doing very much the same thing that I'm doing. Perhaps he'd be more of an activist than I am. And I do consider myself somewhat an activist. Now, how he came to be the Malcolm that he was in the end of his life is explained by what Farah intended to happen in the life of those who embraced his teaching. So I'm saying something to you that perhaps is a big surprise to you. I'm saying that Farah is responsible for
Malcolm disagreed with his Tiflis Farah's teaching. And the same Farah is responsible for me disagreeing with his teaching. And we who disagree with his teaching, we are responsible for me disagreeing with his teaching. So much for our past. Today, I'm addressing really the focus, what should be the Muslim focus, what should be our focus, where we should be focused as Muslims. Today we live in completely new circumstances. When Faraj introduced his idea to us, we had two laws in this country. One law favoring whites, and another law to restrain blacks, or to restrict blacks, so that we didn't go into areas that the white rule world didn't want us in. And those areas, I don't have to tell you about them, you know that history as well as I do. Physical areas, also abstract areas. Yes, and it was so real for us, some of us were afraid to even think in the territory that the white man didn't have for us, whether it was the territory of freedom, open to the freedom of think, the freedom of thought, or to free thinkers, or whether it was some aspiration. If we just got a hint that such was coming to our minds, we would shut our mind against such thoughts because we feared that we might pursue it and end up being killed or put in jail or killed by white society. So for many of us, we've come through very, very painful circumstances. We've survived very, very painful circumstances. And those circumstances, in my opinion, have been more painful for our souls than they've been for our bodies. Many of us, we read of the physical torture that our people experienced during slavery and after. But really, the worst pain, the worst scars from painful experiences came from psychological factors, psychological influences, psychological factors, and affected our souls and our psyche as a people. And many of us still wear those scars, and we still bear the terrible pain. And I pray God that we will become more positive in our outlook, more hopeful for a better life in the future, so that we be able to recognize that we have come a long way. When I say we, I mean just that. I don't mean that America, our white people, have brought us a long way. We have come a long way. Ever since Frederick Douglass, we have had black people contributing to the better future of America, not just the better future of black people. And I think in his own way, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad contributed to the better future of America, not to the, just to the better future of black people. So today, we have circumstances too that follow us. And I think the circumstances that are bothering us today are not to be blamed on white world, but to be blamed on us. And for Islam itself, there is a tendency in Muslim leaders, Muslim teachers, students of the religion of Islam to go into an excessive ritualism, to be excessive in their concern for the rituals of the life of Muslims. Such rituals as washing for prayer, wudu, and how do we make prayer, the way we make prayer, standing and bowing and prostrating and all that, and saying certain things, the dhikr, etc. there's a tendency for some of us to go to extremes. And believe me, those who put more emphasis on the rituals of Muslim life are few in the international community of Muslims. Most of the people in the international community of Muslims, they put more importance on the plain teachings in the Quran and the plain instructions left to us from our prophet, our leader, Muhammad, who received the Quran about 1400 years or so ago. Our God says to us in our holy book that the book is revealed in two features to the book. One is metaphorical teaching, and the other is the plain logic. And God says that the plain logic is the foundation of the book, and that you will find among people those who will be leaning more toward the metaphorical. And in them will be something perverted. Their hearts will be perverted, tainted, something wrong inside the heart. So anytime we find people putting more importance on the mysteries of Islam and on the metaphors that we find in Islamic language, we can justifiably hold them as suspects. Because God says, when people have this tendency, there's something missing in the heart. We should never prefer that we don't understand over that God has made very plain and understandable. You see. So we have in America now spiritualist groups. And in my opinion, spiritualism is not the character of our religion. The spiritual life, spiritualism, is not the character of our religion. Rational faith is how we should describe our religion. Our God says to us in the Holy Book that we are community after community of Abraham. And God says of Abraham, he was a man of rational faith. He was not a man given to rituals, empty rituals, or to follow something blind. He questioned things. He questioned even the universe to find out where is God? What's behind all this? And his questioning, what he saw as the realities of the world and the cosmic order of the universe, brought him to believe in a God that was intelligent, that was a source for the intelligence, a source for the logic, the universal logic, that he discovered in the order of creation. So he came to believe that, and he said there's no God except the one who designed all this, the creator of all this. He rejected even the Son as a God. He says the Son can't be God, my God. He said my God is not 1%. And the Son, when the Son rose, he had a different opinion. He had another opinion. When the Son rose, he said, oh, what a magnificent good God. He thought of it. But when the Son set, he said, oh, this can't be my God. My God is not 1%. And so I'm saying that there is enough and more than enough evidence in our Quran, in our Holy Book, and in the teachings of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be on him, to condemn extremism in religion. We are not to give ourselves to extremism in religion. We are not to put more importance on rituals than we put on rational teaching, practical and rational teaching. We know that in our religion, the creation of the devil is explained as a creature that has been given high praise in God's creation. Even the position of leader of the angels allow his passion to overcome his behavior. and dictate his behavior. Says in our holy book, says that the one who led the angels, his name is called Iblis in our holy book, Iblis. When God presented his plan for man, that man should be made a ruler in the earth, responsible for himself, responsible for his environment, etc., under God, Iblis, who had been the leader of the angels, and the angels had been old men, became jealous. He didn't like that. And he was puffed up, with pride, overestimated his own importance. That's what the term means, he overestimated his own importance, puffed up with pride and overestimated his own importance, and began to disagree with God, and wasn't even aware that he was disagreeing with God. He thought he was serving God, arguing with God, and at the same time thinking he was trying to prove a point and to God, and God was making a mistake, not him. And at the same time recognizing God as his Lord. This one. Now, you know, if that could happen to a creature somewhere behind us, thousands of years or millions of, you don't know how long it's been behind us, that could happen to a creature at any time. And we allow our passions to overcome us, and we think we're on the right track. So Muslims are to avoid extremism in their passions. And one of the worst extremes is to give yourself to anger, and become overpowered by the passion of anger. Our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he was asked by one person to give me some advice to last me, that I can carry with me, to last me for the duration of my life. The prophet said, avoid the tendency to become angry. Or a tendency to give in to anger, the passion of anger. That was the advice the prophet gave him. Now, our religion is first of all a religion of peace. And our prophet is to study his life, how he dealt with friends and enemies, even non-believers. One of his relatives was a non-believer. He was his friend before he became a prophet. And he stayed his friend for the whole duration of the prophet's life on this earth. He was still his friend. He didn't reject him. But some of us who are Muslims, we think that once we become Muslim, if we have a relative that won't accept our religion, we are even to reject that relative.
Absolutely.
But my father was serving time for refusing the draft. The war of 19, the Second World War. In the 40s, early 40s. He was in prison, and he wasn't able to come to see his family, see how his children were doing. I guess he had concerns. What's happening to Wallace's mind now, you know? So he sent a verse from Quran to me through my mother. And my mother gave it to me, I'm a boy. I'm talking about 1944, maybe, 43 or 44. So I was only about 10 or 11 years old. My mother brought me this verse. She said, son, your father told me to give you this verse from the Quran. And I read it. First she read it to me herself to make sure that it fit into my ears. Then I took it and I read it. It was the advice of the prophet Luqman to his son. And in this advice it said, if your parents strive to make you believe something of God that you don't have any knowledge basis for, don't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
However, keep good company with them in this world.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been the agent in my life that influenced the change for me, or made possible the change for me, so that I could find Farah's strategies and come eventually to Islam. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if Muslims would be like that? If your parents die with you to make you believe something different of God. Don't hate your parents. Don't dislike your parents. But be kind to them. Be kind to them as they were to you when you were helpless as a baby, and they lower to you the wings of mercy. This is what God says to us in the Quran. Are we to confront the world? Are we to confront those that we think present a problem for the good life or for the future God intends for humanity on earth? Yes, we are to confront them. But how are we to confront them? We are to confront them in the interest of peace, not being interested in setting one people against another, not to have war with them or have enmity, but for the sake of peace. Our motivation should be peace. Our name is peace, Muslim. Our religious name is peace, Islam. Our destiny is peace, Dar es Salaam. We should be people motivated by peace. And you know our greeting is Salaam. We are to confront them in the words of God and debate with them, argue with them in the way that is intelligent and most excellent. Jadilhum billati hiya ahsan. Argue with them, confront them, contend with them, but in the way that is intelligent and most excellent. And invite them. Didn't say put this down their throat. Didn't say impose your religion on them. Says invite them. If God say we have to invite people to Islam, that tells me that we are not to compel them to be Muslim. We have to give them a choice. We have to make them aware that there is another choice. You know about this religion, you know about that religion, we want you to be aware of this other choice, Islam. Thank you very much. May God guide us to the right way and forgive us our errors. As-salamu alaykum.
It's over 20 minutes.
The Imam will entertain a few questions if there is anyone who would like to present a question. Students, professors, dean.
There's a mic over there.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Hello, my name is Yavisa Jordan, and I just want to thank you for coming. And my question is, can you repeat that thing he said when he was talking about the angel and when he went against God and when he was angry? Because me and my friends have a problem with anger. You know, sometimes we let it overcome us. And maybe we can use that thing amongst ourselves when, you know, we're angry and want to deal with God. So could you repeat that for me?
Yes. The prophet about what the prophet advice was?
Yes.
The prophet was asked by a person for some advice that would serve them for the duration of life. And he said, avoid the tendency to get into anger.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
My name is Abdul Muhammad Khan. I am an Egyptian Muslim. I just want to inquire, and I've been there about 15 years. First of all, I enjoyed listening to you very much, and I hope you spoke long because I'm yearning to hear more than that. But the Western countries claim that Islam spread by the sword. And as you just said before, that our religion is peace, our greeting is peace, and we should be peace. That's the first part of my question. I hope you will just, you know, if it happened, Islam here, you know. I don't think, you know, the second part of my question, I just want to make it I don't know much about Lewis Farrakhan. What I was exposed to is what I heard about the country and from the Malcolm X movie and all that. And why is Islam presented in this country only as it's for black people or from the black point of view? You know, Islam is for everybody. For white, black, yellow, white, whatever.
Yeah.
So why always limited Muslim, and the first thing that comes to mind of people here is only for blacks? That's what I want to, also elevate in that a little bit. And thank you very much.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Thank you for the question. For the first part of your question, the most populous Muslim nation on earth today is Indonesia. And the Indonesians say that they became Muslim because Muslims came to do trade with them, and that the character was so nice, and that business practices were so good, that they became interested in those people, and some of them were their neighbors next door. So they began asking, what accounts for this behavior you? And they said, Islam. And that's how they became Muslim. So eventually it spread, attracted more and more Indonesians to Islam. I talked to Africans, and I asked them, well, how did you all become Muslim? And very few would say that there was war and somebody came into power and they just accepted the Muslim way as a consequence. Most of them say that Muslims migrated to Africa, began to do trade with them, and they became interested in their religion, and later learned of the religion, and religion began to spread among them. So if we ask Africans, go to Africa and ask Africans, don't ask outsiders, go ask Africans, ask Nigerians, was Islam imposed on you? They say no. Ask Sudanese, was Islam imposed on you? They say no. If Islam was imposed upon them, they would not like Islam on them today. But to the contrary, Islam has grown with Africans enjoying more independence. Islam has grown. Since African states have come out from under colonial domination, the religion of Islam is growing even more, converting even more Africans to Islam. So there's a lot of misconceptions that we have to address in this country. In the West. They are not in the East, they are in the West. We know that the Prophet picked up the sword, but he picked up the sword only after his life and his mission had been threatened by the idolaters of Mecca. And we know that he even picked up the sword against Jews, but we know that it was only after a party of the Jews, those in Medina, gave assistance to the Meccans, who were our idol worshippers, that the Prophet lifted up the sword against the Jews. The Prophet never lifted his sword up against Judaism or against all Jews. He lifted up the sword against enemies that were threatening the life and the right of Muslims to have the life of Islam. And this religion invites people, God said, those who would have a will to accept, let them accept. Those who have a will to reject, let them reject. The statement in the Quran used by a lot of extremists in Islam, that God says this religion is going to prevail over all religions, is misunderstood. I have learned Arabic. I know what the word means. The word means that this religion will become the most popular religion. The most popular religion. The most apparent religion. It'll be seen. And most people in religion, they don't have a visibility like we have. When we pray the way we pray, tell people who we are, we have a visibility. So this religion will become the most apparent religion. It already has become the most apparent religion. These things are to be understood in the right way, and we're not to follow those who give themselves to extremism, but those who give themselves to a balanced life. To an intelligent, balanced life. I would like to say to the second part of your question about Lewis Farrakhan. Lewis Farrakhan, he is where I was.
my family still is.
Alejandra.
My question to you is, you had spoken earlier about if Malcolm X was still here, he'd probably be an activist, which probably means you would see a lot more visuals. Do you feel you have a responsibility to the Muslim community to become more visual to the American public so you can teach them the more positive attributes of the religion as opposed to the negative things that are kind of thrown on us by Farrakhan?
Yes. Yes, I do feel that as an obligation, and also the way of God. Because God says if he hasn't allowed certain developments to come up, to rise up and make some people uncomfortable, to persecute them or make them uncomfortable, then they wouldn't have come to where they came to come to grips with their life and their problems. So we know this is the way of God. He punishes a negligent people for their negligence. And I think the whole so-called Islamic world, they should not condemn the extremes that we have over here in Islam and black Muslim religion, but without understanding that they have been negligent. And maybe this is the whipping that God's putting on them. And I do feel obligated. I do feel obligated. And I appreciate the opportunity to be on this prestigious campus ground right now, because this gives me an opportunity to show you the other side, or to show you what I see as Islam and what the majority of Muslims on this earth see as Islam. Okay.
Ma'am,
yes, ma'am.
The reason why I asked the question is because I've heard through the grapevine or through the community that you're a very timid, not in the front type of person, and you want your publicity kind of limited. So I was wondering if maybe that was not a quite right quote. Or
yes. I'm running into this a lot here lately. Yeah. And I start getting it from the moment I stood up and said something different in the Nation of Islam. I start getting that. Reports that people are describing me. Yes. And also as a person that says, let everything happen like it wants to happen. Don't disturb anything. Sometimes you have to make a little noise.
Love
just,
right.
Just don't grow the love noise. I'm late.
Well, yes.
What is my time?
Two questions. I'd like to maybe be clear from the part. Knowledge of self and knowledge of Allah. Should we teach knowledge of self first before teaching knowledge of Allah? Or if we're going to teach knowledge of self first, do we use the Quran? Would it be irrelevant?
Yes. I'll answer the last part first. We should, if we're Muslim teachers, then we should use Quran. We should come from the Quran's position of Quran. We should be standing on Quran. Now, maybe we are not using Quranic language. Maybe people will hear the Quran when they hear what they're saying. But if we try to correct problems, we should first, as Muslim people, we should be standing upon the foundation of Islamic knowledge. And we should be applying Islamic knowledge. And Islamic knowledge is universal. The language of Islam is universal. So I don't have to make any Christian uncomfortable to share or impart Islamic knowledge to that person. So we are not just to invite people to Islam, but we are to help society solve problems that are on society. And to do that, we have to talk in the language of physics, we have to talk in the language of mathematics, we have to talk in the language of psychology, we have to talk in all the languages of sciences. You see, we have to speak in the language of the sciences, but we have to be standing on the Islamic foundation. Did that answer that part of the question? Now let me go back to the first.
the first part of the question. Now, the last part of the question was about Islamic knowledge, right? If I'm...
knowledge itself.
Yes. That was the first part of the question.
Yes.
On knowledge of God. Which one should come first?
Yes. Concerning the introduction in the Quran, it speaks about, it says the word glory. And glory doesn't directly mean praise and honor. Should we understand why should we praise and honor Allah first?
Yes. Yes. Well, let me first remind myself and Muslims in the audience of my own experience. What bothered me when I was a young minister in the Nation of Islam was that our ministers would talk all about the devil and little about God, Allah. So that bothered me. I said, you're making God the devil more important than Allah. Another thing bothered me was that we were pretending to know everything about Allah. You know,